There's a hymn that we have sung in the past that has a few lyrics in it that go, "Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Today, I am quite sure the presence of the Lord is in this place." The way the song service has been, it's been phenomenal. The way that Johnny directed our minds to remember Jesus, to challenge us in our giving, it's wonderful. David's prayer to remind God to search us, what a blessing. I believe with all my heart that this is a growing congregation. We've experienced growth numerically, and I am so thankful for that. But one thing I'm going to preach about today is this. We have to remind ourselves we cannot lose the mission. You see, every successful organization has a clear mission. Apple, for instance, they have a mission. What have they done? They exist to innovate. What have they done? Today I'm preaching off. My notes are on an iPad. I read off an iPhone. I have an Apple Watch, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's changed the world in so many ways. Hospitals, they have a purpose. They have a mission statement. And all of them would talk about they exist to heal. Schools exist to educate. Transportation companies exist to move people. The railroad industry. They thought they were in the railroad business. They weren't. They were in the transportation business. Again, the railroad was a very booming business. It was a very booming place that people could have jobs and just find success and everything else. But when airplanes, trucking, and automobiles came along, many railroads, they didn't fail because transportation disappeared. They failed because they misunderstood their mission. Now, there are going to be moments today that I want to walk, but I'm going to stay right here because I realized on the way up here the batteries in my lapel mic are dead. George has a couple for me, so I can walk. Thanks. And so today I'm excited about this sermon because this sermon, like all the other sermons that I preach, but especially this one, it seems to resonate well with me. I am someone who likes to preach sermons that apply to me. And because of that, I want us to be careful as a church. I want your minister to be careful as a minister. I want this elder and our eldership to be careful as an eldership. And us as a congregation, that we do not forget why we exist. You see, sometimes we can begin believing when we're growing and everything is great, like it again. This is a great congregation. If you're visiting with us, you don't have to visit anymore. This is the place to be. It's my home church. I grew up here. I'm a lifelong member of this place. And so I love this place. But if we believe we're in the building numbers business, and I'm going to tell you, I've been there before. Sometimes I used to get really stressed out over numbers. You know, how many do we have this past Sunday? How many we have at Sunday school? How many we have at Wednesday night? And I, again, a lot of my years in life as a youth minister, I would focus on how many we went on this trip, and then you compare with other youth ministers, and you feel like, hey, we had more than them, and so I feel special, et cetera, et cetera. That's the wrong attitude. If we believe we're in the building numbers business, or we believe we're in the attendance business, listen, I've stressed over money. Okay, I'm going to be full transparent. Sometimes I still do a little bit. The elders are going to tell on me if I didn't say that. But our contribution, what a blessing it's been, right? We have a surplus in our budget this year already, and so what a blessing it is. But if we believe we're in the budget business, we're in the attendance business, we're in the building numbers business, or even if we believe we're in the tradition business, we've missed the mission. You see, Jesus never called us in any of Scripture to build any of those things. He called us to build disciples. If you'll change the slide because I don't know where the mic is. I mean, I got the mic on. The remote. Oh, I found it. Jesus never called us to build any of those things. He called us to build disciples. What is our Great Commission? You know it, right? Matthew 18. We're going to be there today. I mean, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. He says in there, go build churches all the world and build your numbers. Go into all the world and build a great budget. Go into all the world and et cetera, et cetera. No, he said go into all the world and make disciples. The more I study the Bible, the more I'm convinced, God doesn't primarily grow churches. God grows people. And here's the beautiful part, though. As the people grow, the churches grow. Isn't that amazing? It's God's plan, right? He said, I'm going to grow these people. We're going to make disciples. We're going to grow spiritually. And when that happens, the church is going to really explode. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Did you hear that? Now, that's Psalm 119. We use that as a theme, remember, about being making our understanding the Bible when we studied the Word of God a few years ago, how it's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. You see, that was a theme that we had for a whole year that we challenged the whole congregation to read every day. FYI, for your information, just because that theme ended, that challenge did. You see, in Psalm 119, verse 165, the writer said, great peace have those who love your law. That would be the Word of God today, right? If we were to apply that today, we were to say, hey, great peace to those who love the Word of God. And what else would we say? Nothing can make them stumble. Did you hear that? Nothing. What is the number one problem in the church today, Terry? I believe the number one problem in the church today is not attendance, it's not finances, it's not great Bible teachers, it's not any of those things. I believe it's a lack of study of the Word of God. I have no data to back that up, but I believe wholeheartedly that that is the number one issue. You see, spiritually mature people don't stumble over everything. Immature people do. Before God grows His church, He forms His people. You see, a church can never outgrow the maturity of the members. So today, as we enter this study, I want you to be honest with you, like I've been honest with me and will continue to be honest with me, and ask, am I easily offended? Am I easily divided over something? Am I easily discouraged? Am I easily distracted? And I'm not talking about the fellow ADHD people out there. That's me too, okay? But am I easy to do any of those things? Because if the answer is yes, I'm easily offended, I'm easily willing to divide. If the shepherds of this congregation say something based on the Word of God, I'm not going to listen to them because I'm not going to listen to authority because that's what society teaches me to do. Don't listen to authority. Now, elders don't rule as hierarchies, I get that, but we understand the point. Am I easily divided over that? Am I easily distracted? Am I easily discouraged? If that is me answering yes, then you're not accomplishing the mission of God. Because you know why? The mission has never and never will change. The question is, are we being formed to carry it out? As we study this, let's break it down. First of all, this. Formed people, now I'm talking about formed by God people, live for the mission. That means it's our life. It's why we exist. Again, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, get this, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, if you look through history, especially Bible history, and you look at the great leaders of the Bible, they all understood their purpose. Joshua. What a challenge he had, right? He had a challenge to take over the Israelites after Moses had died to lead them into the promised land, something Moses himself could not do. Well, Joshua, as you understand, in the first few chapters there, first few verses, he seems to be overwhelmed, and God tells him to be strong and courageous. Well, if you look at verse 11, you understand, Joshua understood his purpose. Here it is, Joshua 1:11. Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in, possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. God said, be strong and courageous and give them this purpose. Get yourselves ready. We're going to cross that Jordan and we're going into that promised land. That's your mission, Joshua. How about Gideon? Gideon in Joshua chapter 6, verses 14 and following, the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Now that mission's pretty clear, right? You're going to save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. You see, I love getting to the point. God got to the point with Joshua. Tell the people, get themselves ready. We're going across the Jordan, and we're going to take the promised land, which He's promised us for 40 years. Gideon, here's what I need you to do. Go save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Jesus didn't give the church a bunch of assignments. He gave us a very simple mission. Make disciples. That's it, right? Go into all the world and make disciples. Notice he didn't say go make spectators. He didn't say go make consumers. Oh, I'm just going to be here and I'm going to take what you give me and I'm not going to put anything into it. That's a consumer, right? I'm going to consume all this, but I'm not going to deposit anything. He didn't say go into all the world and make critics. He said to go into all the world and make disciples. I believe one of Satan's greatest strategies is not saying, hey, just quit Christianity. Now, there are some that have been tempted by that and have fallen short, and they are. They have quit. But I believe Satan, his strategy is more like this. Hey, Christian,
let me get you offended by another Christian. So that you can divide with one another. So that you can be discouraged by one another. And you will lose focus on why you are here. You know, churches lose years over people with hurt feelings. I've said this once. I've said it 1,000 times over my time here. I'd have left a long time ago if I were going to leave the church over somebody hurting my feelings. Listen, I'm sorry it happens. I really am. But we are human beings who are all trying to work on things. But we cannot grow if we're hurt by every single thing. Again, churches lose years over hurt feelings. In the meantime, there are people all around us dying without Jesus Christ. You see, without purpose, without mission, we will become consumed with internal battles. There are elderships all over what we call the brotherhood who are battling internal struggles instead of battling a lost world. Now, that's not happening here. And I don't say we have a problem with any of this, but we preach to prevent. We preach to keep growing, to do better. Our theme this year has been, love your neighbor. So we have to ask the question, if we're consumed with internal battles, how are we reaching our neighbors? How can we love our neighbors if a church can't love each other? You know what Jesus said? He said, by this, all will know that you are my disciples. Go make disciples. You will know you are His disciples if what? We have love for one another. You see, our greatest evangelistic tool is not this church building. It's a great church building. What a blessing. I mean, this church building is a wonderful place. The property we have is wonderful. What a blessing it is. We have a great-looking sign. We have a lot of great-looking people. But our greatest evangelistic tool is our love for Jesus. So formed people must live for what He taught us in Matthew 28. Secondly, though, formed people, I'm talking about formed by God, never stop growing. Matthew 28:20. He said, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even so to the end of the age. I like this. Matthew added, amen. You see, He said, teach them. I love when somebody says, I'm tired of living for the world, and I am ready to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We watch them be immersed in water, where God contacts them with the blood, the life-giving, life-changing blood of Jesus. And in that water, they receive forgiveness of sins once they come out of that water and they're born again. They also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They're also added to the church. And they come up out of that water and they're walking in newness of life. And I love that. And you know what we say? Hey, good luck to you. We'll move on to the next one. Well, if we're going to fully follow the mission, we got to keep teaching. Notice He didn't say, here's the cutoff age. No matter what age we are, we got to keep learning. No matter how long we've been a child of the King, we must keep growing. Conversion isn't graduation. Conversion is birth. Babies grow. And Christians should too. How do you do it? Go back to what I said originally. I think the number one issue is we got to be in love with the Word of God. Have you ever noticed that people who love God's Word aren't constantly offended by everything? Why? Because Scripture keeps reshaping them. Immature Christians say, well, I didn't like that sermon. No, nobody's ever said that to me. I'm just throwing that out there. Immature Christians say, I didn't like that. Immature Christians say, that was way too long. Immature Christians say, that person is this, that person is that. Growing Christians ask, what is God through all this trying to teach me? This was read to us by Dawson a little bit earlier, Galatians 4:19. Paul said this, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth. Listen to what he said now. You want to talk about easily offended? Could Paul tell you this today and you say, okay, I'm going to hear every word you say. He said, hey, little children. Now, he's not talking to little children. He's talking about babies in Christ. Hey, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth, get this, until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. You see, the church at Galatia, they were struggling with growth. They were struggling with becoming who God wanted them to be, who Paul, through God, wanted them to be. And he said, I'm struggling with this. He said, because I need to be there with you and change my tone. I'm perplexed about this. But see, that's the goal, right? We must keep growing until Christ is formed in us. We don't just get wrapped up in numbers. We can't just get wrapped up in budget. We can't just get wrapped up in everyday human standards. Now, I believe my buddy George said it's got to be transformation. You see, it'd be the same thing today if you hear this sermon, and I appreciate Brother Mike's prayer. He said, help Terry preach with boldness. And I'm trying to be that right now. Because if you and I are not spiritually where we need to be, then there is a problem. And that problem typically is, I don't know the Bible like I should. And if that is the case, and you say, hey, you know what, man, that was powerful, Terry. You preached boldly today. I appreciate it. And you go home and don't do anything about it. There's no transformation there. We got to be formed by God. He is the potter. We are the clay. We got to let Him mold us into what we need to be. We must be willing to allow that to happen. And so once we are formed, once we are obedient to the gospel, we never stop growing. Thirdly, then, you need to know that God grows His church through people who look like Jesus. And I'm not talking about physical appearance. You know that. If you go back to Galatians 4:19, what did he say? He said, until Christ is formed in you. What that means is this. God wants people to not see us. He wants them to see His Son. He wants us to be imagers of Him. imagers of His Son. When others look at me, when others look at you, they ought to see Jesus. That's how God will grow our church. Once we commit ourselves to growing and forming Jesus in us, numbers take care of themselves. You've heard the old saying, right? Coaches say it. There's no I in team. And I agree with that. I understand what they're saying. But there is an I in unity. If we're going to be united together and turn Sims and Wilmer and Mobile and Saraland and Satsuma and Chickasaw and Mississippi and every other part that we got people from here, and that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? We got a lot of people. Folks, y'all realize this. We got a lot of people that come here on Sundays that pass a lot of other churches. That's special. That's very special. How do we encourage others to do it? If we're going to be united by forming Christ in us, we've got to look at the eye. We've got to look at our... We've got to make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. So ask ourselves this question. Please ask it and be honest with yourself. Right now, think on it. If everyone that's a member here at Azalea City became exactly like me. I'm not talking about me. You put your name there. Became exactly like you. If everyone at Azalea City were exactly like me, exactly like you, what kind of church would we be? Would we be more forgiving? Now again, you got to think of it from your perspective. If it is like me, would this church be more forgiving? Would we be more generous? Would we be more compassionate? Would we be more evangelistic? Or would we as a church be more offended? More critical? More negative? More divided? I certainly can't answer that question for you, but I can answer it for me. I believe in self-examination. I believe that the Bible teaches us we need to examine ourselves. In fact, on Beyond Sunday podcast, episode 2 is out, and we talk, there's a portion of it that talks about self-examination. You see, right now is a time to examine ourselves. Really, the question is, do I look like Jesus? When others see me, do they see Jesus? Because church growth begins in the mirror. It doesn't always begin in the foyer. Finally, this morning, a growing church must have the atmosphere of Jesus. This is a beautiful place. You know what? It really is. You think about the designers and architects of this building. It was designed and built a long time ago now. But it still looks modern. It still looks new as far as a traditionally church-looking church building looks. It's got great facilities. It's because we have great deacons and those who care for it. It's got great air conditioning. It's got padded pews. It's got all these things. It's got, I mean, it looks good when you come in here. But guess what? People aren't coming here because the walls are pretty. They're staying because the hearts are. You see, the atmosphere should feel different here than anywhere else we go. People should walk in and experience grace. said this before, but one thing Taylor says when we go on these trips is, hey, give everybody grace. And you know, when you're staying up to 2 and 3 in the morning and getting up early and you're going and you're in close quarters, that resonates really well. And our teenagers do an excellent job of it, by the way. But how do we do? You know, I'm always going to... Let me stop and say it this way. I know I'm an elder here, but I'm also under the elders here as a minister. And they sign my checks. And they could walk in tomorrow and say, Terry, you're terminated. I get that. So in a sense, if you said they are my boss, I would understand exactly what you're saying. But I want you to know that when I lay my head on my pillow at night, it's not to please these other six men. It's to please God Almighty. Now, if I please God Almighty, I ought to please six other godly men, right? And I know that. I get that. But you need to understand that everything I'm doing is because I know I've got to stand in judgment for God. I'm going to give you my best. But you know, quite frankly, my best may not be great all the time. But you know what I've realized? If people know you love them, you can get by with a sermon that's not your best. You can get by with a Bible class that you're like, really wish I'd have done a little bit better. Do people walk in here and experience love and grace? Do people walk in here and experience patience, mercy, forgiveness, kindness, hope? Now let me tell you, I believe they do. And I believe that's why we're growing. But we can't get content where we are. You see, we want visitors to come, right? You always want visitors. We want them leaving here saying this, you know, I may not know much about that church, but I know those people genuinely love one another. You see, we talk about all the time, I want to be the church of the Bible. And I totally get it. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles were receiving the Word of God directly from the Holy Spirit. Think of that. That was powerful. So they were telling these churches directly, miraculously, from the Holy Spirit what to do, how to act, where to do this. We don't have that anymore because we have the written Word. And so the written Word of God tells us what to do, and we've got to do it like the written Word of God says. But I want us to go beyond that when we say, I want us to be the church of the Bible. I want us to enjoy that fellowship that he said second, by the way. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship. By the way, Justin wasn't kidding. There was something in the air about fellowship this morning. I said three times, hey, it's time to go. Nobody moved, which I'm used to people not listening to me anyhow. But the point is, y'all were excited, and I love that, don't you? That fellowship time. Man, Friday night, Cindy Carter, I don't know where you are, but thank you so much for planning a church game night. I mean, if you were here and you didn't laugh, you need to check yourself. I did a lot of laughing and got laughed at, but that's okay too, right? Maybe laughed with. It was so much fun. And you know what it was? It was just Christians who don't normally hang out maybe with other Christians that way, getting together, mixing ages, mixing different everything, and playing a game and laughing and having a good time. That's the church of the Bible. The church of the Bible looked out for each other. They were so intertwined in one another's life That they knew when somebody was struggling with something, and they didn't, they weren't so closed off that they couldn't say, hey, you know what, I've got this issue and I need help with it. That's the church of the Bible. We let the word community get stolen from us and it became a quote-unquote bad word. It's not. It's what God designed. We're a community of believers, a neighborhood of believers. That's who we have to be. That's the church of the Bible. In fact, it's the whole book of Acts. It's washing feet like they did in John chapter 13. It's who the early church was. But you know what could destroy all that? Easily offended Christians. People who are spiritually immature. People who are consumers. Withdrawers, I call them, and not depositors. And I'm not talking about financially. I'm just talking about you expect the church to do everything, but you give nothing. You see, that's where we got to start with the I in unity. We got to look at ourselves. Is Christ being formed in me? Galatians 4:19. You know what builds the atmosphere faster than anything? Formed by God Christians. When Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, I think he gave them a pretty good compliment. In fact, listen to 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Nowhere in the letter, though, does Paul mention their size, the location of their building, their contribution numbers, the brotherhood reputation. But that passage speaks volume about their determination to follow out the mission. He said, we remember always to thank God for, number one, your work of faith. Number two, your labor of love. And number three, your steadfast hope. You see, that's a healthy church. If we spend all of our energy trying to grow in attendance, don't get me wrong, I want us to knock the walls out of this place. But we may miss what God's trying to do with us first. You see, before He grows our numbers, He wants to grow our hearts. Before He expands our influence, He wants to deepen our character. Before He sends us out to love our neighbors, He wants us to be more like Jesus. Because growing churches are part of the overflow of growing Christians. And when Christ is formed in us, we're not easily offended. We're not swayed by every doctrine that Scott read to us from the book of Ephesians. We become increasingly passionate about the mission. We stop asking, what can the church do for me? And we start asking, how can God use me to help grow His church? Are we growing today? I believe with all my heart we are. I believe that there is something special. I said it at, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. This place is special. Our youth group is growing. Our congregation is growing. Our babies, I mean, look at the babies that are here. We have a lot of great things going. But I also need to ask the question individually, am I growing? Today, if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, guess what? Today can be your birthday. And from today forward, to walk in newness of life, we stay in this book and we keep growing. You see, I don't have to preach on attendance if I understand mission. We don't have to preach on studying the Bible if we understand mission. We don't have to preach on singing if we understand the mission. Worship, we could go down the line, right? So the question is, do we understand today what God's purpose is for you? He's not willing that any should perish. He wants you to be obedient to the gospel. But if you have, and since then you've kind of just been on cruise control. You know, vehicles now, today, they have what's called adaptive cruise control. And I really like it. Because I space out sometimes if I'm driving on the interstate, because you know my brain's going in a million different directions. And it makes you not get too far up on somebody. It starts slowing you down. Next thing I know, though, I'm cruising about 60 miles an hour. And people are flying by me because I'm stuck behind somebody for 30 minutes because I'm on adaptive cruise. Is that where you are? Just stuck and not growing, just standing still? Today, let's change it. If we need to walk this aisle and confess it, let's do it. This is the most special place on earth. Let's stay that way. Let's grow it individually so we can grow it together. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.